She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 166, How to Find Your Brand's Voice and Aesthetic with Tracy Noor, founder of She Just Knows.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hey, She Did Her Way listeners. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I'm chuckling because this is probably the fifth time that I've recorded this intro because I want to make sure that I get it right. So if any of you are curious, yes, I take more than one take sometimes to get everything in there in the intro that I want in the intro. So before we get started for today's podcast episode, if you guys tuned in last week, we had Victoria, who is a co-founder of La Bella Figuera Beauty, on the podcast, and her company has graciously gifted us two products to do a giveaway on the podcast. One of them is an under eye repair serum, and the other is Burning for a Wolf luxury perfume grade candle. I'm gonna put all the details and descriptions up on the shedidherwaypodcast.com website in the show notes so you guys can check it out. But it's the same thing. Just hop on, sign up for our email list. If you're already on there, you're already entered to win the giveaway. We're going to do it from today all the way again till Friday at 11:59 p.m. Central Time. And if you guys heard, I stated in a previous episode that I realized from an email sequence standpoint, I was just getting so excited and sending so many emails, but I'm paring it down to two emails, one on Wednesday for blog posts, and then the second one is Friday for our weekly roundup. That way, in case you miss something or you want it just all nice and neatly tied in a bow, that will come on Friday. Okay, so now on to today's episode. We are welcoming Tracy Noor, who is the founder of She Just Knows. And Tracy has created her business out of doing branding and social media for other companies. So if you're looking to really find your brand's voice and aesthetic, make sure you tune in. We're going to be covering how to tailor your business venture based off of the needs of your market, find how to stimulate engagement with your social media account, know how to choose and use filters for your Instagram picture, among so much more when it comes to social media. So make sure you guys tune in for the upcoming episode.
Okay. Oh,
all right. We are back with another podcast episode. Today, we've got Tracy Noor, who is the founder of She Just Knows. And I'm super excited to talk with her today for her to share her journey and then also talk to us about social media management and things that we can do for our social media within our business. So Tracy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and on the podcast.
Yeah, you got She Just Knows and She Did It Her Way. So there's just, it's all about
the
woman.
It's all about the girls. Yeah.
Yes. Rock on, sister. Okay. give us your version of what it is that you do, and then we'll back up and talk about your journey and how you got there.
Okay. So my version of what I do is, what takes up most of my time, I guess is what I should start with, is managing social media accounts for other individuals or brands, mostly fashion brands, because that's what my background is in. And so I basically handle all of the posting and engagement that goes on their social media accounts. And then separately, I also, I would like to consider myself an influencer in that I like to share a lot of the things that I'm feeling in terms of fashion, beauty, home, whatever it is. So I send out a monthly trend forecast that basically talks about all of those things and kind of just like share my knowledge, I guess. I like to consider myself like a professional consumer. I'm like always shopping, always online, like just always out there, like seeing what's new and what people are doing and what's exciting. So I try to share that with as many people as I can. And so that would be the influencer aspect of what I do. So I have that's what I use my Instagram page for, is sharing those kinds of things.
That's so smart, though. I mean, just like having like a trend forecast.
Yeah, the first Thursday of the month, I was working on it today, but I send out like links, let's say like, okay, I love these black boots and they're a great price point, so I'll send the link out. Or if like somebody's having a great sale, I'll send that out. Just like stuff that people don't like have time to look for. Like my sister, for instance, will be like, oh my God, I need black sandals. Please send me 10 links. And so like I do stuff like that for people. But yeah, so I basically just am always sharing things that I find.
That's amazing. Okay, well, so talk to us about your journey and how it all got started and how it led you to where you are right now today.
So I went to the University of Arizona for journalism, which is like totally, I just was like, I love to write. I want to write greeting cards. And journalism is not writing greeting cards. It's very different. it's not creative writing. So, but I'm glad I did because it taught me how to communicate better and just like be a professional. So I'm glad that I majored in journalism, even though I'm not like a broadcast person right now. But I moved to LA just because I wanted to work in fashion or entertainment. And it was here in New York, and I was born in LA, and I have family here, so I chose to come here and slept on my friend's futon, and she had a job at the Coffee Bean, so I would bring my laptop to her whole shift at the Coffee Bean and just, like, look for jobs online, and then I just decided I'd get a retail job until I found, like, a corporate job, and ended up loving working at Kitson in West Hollywood, and worked in the store as a cashier and made friends and just was young and had fun. And then they were hiring for a buyer in the corporate part of Kitson, and I was like, oh, this is like meant for me. I have to do this. So I interviewed. I was so nervous. And the girl interviewing me was like, okay, well, we have another candidate that's from Forever 21, so we'll get back to you. And I was like, oh, well, I'm never going to get it now, like, if they've, like, had a corporate job. And so I was, like, super bummed. And then she called me, like, a week later and said that I got the job. So I moved into the office, became her assistant for buying, like, beauty products and kids' clothes and gifts. We handled a lot. And then after, like, 3 months, she promoted me to be just a regular buyer and not her assistant anymore. And I handled all of the beauty and home and gift for Kitson for 3 years. And then I wanted to work in women's apparel and learn about production and everything that has to do with making clothes. So I got a job at Forever 21, which is so funny because that's what I was so nervous about the other person being from Forever 21. And then I was like, oh, that's me now. So I went to Forever 21 and I was a merchandiser there first. And I was doing global women's apparel. So I wasn't touching a whole lot of product and doing like design work, which I found out like after working there for a little bit that was definitely what I should have been doing. And so after a few months, I kind of shifted more into that role and had a design team and product development and created a lot of women's clothes for a long time and became a senior buyer there.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I got promoted every year that I was there. It was really, it was awesome. And they are so good about like listening to you about what you want to be doing and what you're actually good at and kind of like finding the role that fits best for you. So it's just actually a really wonderful place to work. But
what was one of your highlights of like you deciding, okay, we're going to buy like your biggest bet that people may have been like, Tracy, I don't know what you see
that
in
was that. A lot.
And then it like, and you're like, see, like, look how much money.
That's the best feeling.
Yeah. Like, what was your biggest buying bet?
Probably that I wanted to start buying stuff that was like a little bit more sophisticated, like for older, like for me and my friends. So it was like a lot of like maybe it was a blazer or like these like really sophisticated black dresses. But a lot of the time people were like, you're crazy. Nobody wants that. Like, you're the only person in the world. And I'd be like, just wait, let's see. And then we'd reorder it like 5 times and I'd be like, see, I know something. Like, I think the coolest part of working there was seeing stuff that you made on people in the street. It was the weirdest feeling. Like, oh my God. Like, I'd be at dinner and be like, oh my God, my blood, sweat, and tears went into that dress. Like, and she's just wearing it, having no idea. And I'm sitting here like, oh, I remember when the sleeves came in and they were too short and I was so mad. Like,
oh my gosh, that would be a crazy feeling.
Yeah, because you get so attached to the clothes that you're making because you're staring at them every day for, you know, 6 months or however long it takes from beginning to end of each garment. And so when you see somebody wearing it, it's like the most rewarding, like weirdest feeling ever.
That would be cool, though.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then I left. and just because I knew I wanted to do my own thing, and I've kind of always known I was going to do my own thing. My dad is like a serial entrepreneur, and it's just kind of like been like something I've been around always. And so I left and I wasn't totally sure what I was going to do, but I just tried a bunch of different things that I was good at and saw what stuck, and that was social media. And so I've just been growing that for the last 2 years.
When you did you, you just left and you're like, I don't really know what I want to do, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, when I was leaving, I was like, okay, I'm going to do personal styling. Like, I'm going to help people, like, you know, clean out their closets and like really curate their look and give them like make a style for them. And then it just didn't work out. Like, that's not what people, like, in theory it was a good idea. And I still think there's like a market for that, but I just wasn't working. And so I was like, okay, well, I know I can do product development, I can do social media, I can do all of these different things. And so every brand I talked to was like, oh, we need help with our social media. And so I just listened to what people actually needed from me and then grew from that. And I think that's a really important thing, is like, you could have a really good idea, but if nobody is doing it or wants it, then it doesn't really matter. You have to like listen to the feedback that you're getting.
Mm-hmm. What was it like in the beginning? Was it easy to find your own clients, and then did it grow through referral, and how has it changed over the past 2 years?
In the beginning, it was reaching out to people like brands that I'd worked with in the past at Kitson or Forever 21, and just my relationships I had with them, and kind of seeing if there was anything they needed. And then it switched to being referrals, and also I reach out to so many people through Instagram. Like, I'll find their email address. Like, I'll look at somebody's Instagram page and be like, okay, they need help. They have a really good brand, but like, why don't they have this? Why don't they have very many followers? Or why are their pictures like not clear, or whatever it is? And then I'll find their email address and email them and say, hey, my name's Tracy. This is what I do, and I'd love to help you. And that's been a huge way that I get clients now.
Okay. Talk to us about social media, and especially all different like platforms, or like, what's the DL on social media? And what is the trend with social media these days? And how can we be successful with our business on social media, and things that we should look out for, things that you might like recommend to the masses?
So I think that people try to have like every platform, like Pinterest, Snapchat, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, there's so many. And in my opinion, I think that if you don't have time, like, don't spread yourself so thin that you're not really giving any attention to like one of them, but you have it. Like, people are going to find it and be like, oh, this is like useless. Like, why do they have a Pinterest, but there's nothing on it? Like, so I would say don't even have like a Twitter or, you know, Snapchat if you're not going to like put everything into it. I think the main channel that businesses should focus on right now is Instagram because it's the easiest way to visually share your product or you if you're an individual and really put like your marketing dollars and your time into Instagram. And you can now like it's shoppable, which is great if you are like if certain brands are shoppable now. If not, you can always link it in your bio if you're trying to sell a product. But I just think that people spread themselves super thin trying to do everything, and it doesn't work. Like it just looks messy, and it looks like you're not giving any love to the extra like outlets. So I definitely would say nail down your Instagram, and once you do that, then like maybe move on to like having a Pinterest or whatever. And also just sharing everything you do on Instagram to Facebook. Like you don't have to do Facebook specific posts. You can just share everything you're doing on Instagram to Facebook. So that way you're present there and it looks like you're doing something, but you're not actually having to put in very much effort in doing that. And then just being really active in your posting, like posts, at least once a day if you can. Just because that's what brings you the most engagement is how often you're posting and how often you're on the platform.
Have you can you share some tips from like an Instagram aesthetics or choosing the right, I don't know, filter or preset or like what
Totally.
apps do you use or you recommend to your clients to use?
So the main one is VSCO, VSCO. I couldn't hate the filters that are in the Instagram app more than I do. They're like they just get super cheesy, and it's so obvious. Like you can immediately tell on somebody's picture if they use like one of the apps that's on Instagram. It makes the resolution of the image lower when you use their apps. So even if your picture was like really clear when you start using their filters, it makes it not clear anymore. So stay away from those. Unless it's black and white, you're allowed to use that. But use VSCO for your filters. And what I tell my clients to do is pick one filter in VSCO that you really, really like and use that filter on every single one of your images and just adjust the brightness or the contrast or whatever you need to do. But that way your page looks uniform all the time without you having to decide which filter is best per picture. Or don't use any filter at all if you can. But I think it's nice if you pick one like really clean filter on VSCO and then just adjust it according to whatever picture you have.
I just recently discovered the VSCO. I don't know, probably like a month and a half ago, and it's definitely been a game changer in terms of like the quality of the photos to be able to
Definitely.
take. What do you like? So She Did It Her Way, for example, we have a lot of curated quotes on ours, and we do or like photos that maybe I've personally taken. We use some photos from other accounts that we always link back to, or try at least try to find the
Credit.
original. Because sometimes like
People get
it's
so mad.
I know, and I totally like I feel bad if I've taken a photo and mistakenly thought it actually came from one person when that person that I thought it that it came from was not the true originator. It was someone else, but it wasn't. They didn't link to it, and like
It's so hard.
it gets so like sticky, and sometimes we'll use stock photos, some that we pay and some that are just free that anyone can use. But like what how do you what do you
I mean, that's a
recommend?
huge, yeah, that's like a huge issue I have with some of my clients. With my clients that have like less than 100,000 followers, I don't put as much pressure on it because there's not as many eyes on it. But if you have like over 100,000, you have to be more careful. But what I, oh, sorry.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Obviously, always give credit if you know who it is. Like, if you're scrolling on Instagram and you see a great quote, like image and you screenshot it and then use it later, like definitely give credit where you can. But sometimes you just literally cannot find, like if you're on Pinterest, for instance, which is where I pull a lot of my inspiration from, there it doesn't always link back to who created the image. So I always just post it, and then if somebody messages me or emails me or, you know, comments like, hey, this is my photo, I'll be like, oh my gosh, great, so glad you reached out, and then tag them and mention them in the comments or whatever. So I basically just do it freely, and then if somebody reaches out and says like, hey, can you just please tag me? Usually people are super nice about it, and they're just happy you're sharing their content because it's more eyes on their stuff. You know, they're just saying like, hey, could you please tag me? And then I do, and then it's over and it's fine. But it does get sticky, and some people, I had like one person that was like, stop committing crimes. And I was like, whoa, I'm really sorry. Like, it was very innocent. Like, I'm not trying to say this is my photo. Like, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. What do you recommend? I mean, like, if you have brands that want to create their own photos, mm-hmm. What is the creative process around that to decide, okay, like, She Did It Her Way wants to make their own stock photos to use yeah. for the Instagram account. Like, does it start, like, step one, create a mood board, and step
yeah,
two,
for sure.
like, what does that whole entire process look like?
So I always ask my clients when I'm creating content for them, let's say it's a sunglasses brand. So I tell them, okay, send me 5 sunglasses brands on Instagram that you really like. Like, you like the aesthetic, you like what they're doing, you like their captions, whatever it is, send them to me, kind of tell me what you like about them. So let's say they send me, you know, Ray-Ban or whatever, and their pictures are like crisp with a white background and the glasses are the only thing in the photo. So when I get their photos, or when I get their sunglasses at my house and I'm going to take the pictures for them, I get like a white foam board and take the pictures on my camera, or I use my iPhone a lot because the 7 is actually like really good it's like really good quality. So I'll take a picture on like a white foam board and it looks like I'm in a studio. Like, I brighten it up so that it looks really clean. Or if they're like more shabby chic, I'll put like flowers in, or like a coffee mug or whatever. Or I'll get like colored paper and like make a pattern or something and put the sunglasses on top of it. So it's basically me going to the art store after I've seen what they like and just kind of creating my own backgrounds at home on foam board, poster board, whatever, and using different props that are like around my house.
Mm. No, that brings up.
It's very authentic. And
well, I mean, I love that because, you know, we could look at Instagram accounts and be like, I call it pole vaulting over mouse turds, where we build something in our mind to be this grandiose thing and it's huge. But then really, when you get closer to it and you peek behind the curtain, you're like, oh, it's not so bad.
That's like people that you meet also, and you're like, oh my god, they're so intimidating, like they do all of these things and like they don't want to talk to me. It's like it's just overwhelming because you don't know them or you don't know how to do something. And then once you actually learn about it learn about the person, you're like, oh, you're normal and it's not as hard as it looks, or whatever it might be. It's just like intimidating at first.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like we build it up in our minds. What about the copy that we put, whether, or like the caption, whether it's through Instagram or Facebook, like, are there do's and don'ts when it comes to that?
Yeah, I think creating a voice for your brand is super important, and being consistent. That's why I think it's important that one person does the social media all the time, because when you start having like one or two people doing it, you can kind of feel that their tone is different, or the images they choose are different. So I always say like, okay, do you want to be like fun and flirty, or do you want to be like super informative and serious, or do you want to be like pop culture-y and use like these sunglasses are lit, or like, you know, you have to kind of like choose your brand and what kind of person is following you and like how they talk. So I always suggest for my clients to keep it like a conversation and like really like, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with these, like, how would you guys wear them? And like, open comments to come back, because engagement is like a huge way of growing your following, or tag somebody that like needs to see this quote today or whatever it is. Like asking a question is really great, or saying like, I love this because, like, if it's an inspirational picture of like a dining room table, like, I love this image, like the tones like are gray or whatever it is, just like being a real human and like being relatable in your caption, I think is a really good way to keep people engaged.
Yeah. My follow-up question to that is like, is there like a strong thing or a one thing that is like a direct correlator to creating increased followers or engagement? I know you mentioned like the call to actions and the captions, mm-hmm. but is that like a really like your top surefire way to create the following, or is there like other ways that you recommend people to be able to do that?
I think there's like three things. The first, I think, is really consistent photos, to where like if you are scrolling on your feed, it that person is so consistent that you can see the picture and know that it's them that posted it without even looking at the name. Mm. I think that is what gets you far, is this consistency in your page being visually appealing. I think the second thing is probably having eyes. If it's a picture of a person, people's eyes in photos perform 30% better than anything else on Instagram. So like a face, or like, you know, versus like somebody's hands, like a face performs better.
Really? And then also,
yeah.
Oh, well, friends, she did it her way. I'll just take a lot more selfies.
Yeah, just, for sure.
Sometimes I actually did post like a selfie for the first time. I don't know, like
I'm
last
sure
week
got
or something.
A lot of likes.
Yeah,
people that, like to see the face.
I was I did my first Facebook Live, and then it was a 5-minute Friday, and so then I wanted to take a picture after I was done, so I did it that way. It was a lot of fun. I think it was good. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, but like people like to connect with a face. And then I think another thing is brightening your images. Like bright images perform a lot better than darker images. Mm. And then just having high resolution. Like make sure your photos are clear and they're good quality. And I think a combination of all of those things is what's going to get you followers.
Yeah. How do you, I mean, I'm always so curious, you know, I like She Did It Her Way is one brand to manage, right? And I mean, I have a personal account and stuff like that, but I don't really put a ton of emphasis as much as I am with the She Did It Her Way stuff.
Yeah.
How do you keep sane? Like, what is your structure? How do you organize?
So I love to make lists. Lists are like, I have a legal pad and I don't know what I would do without it. I write a list every single morning, right when I get to my desk, of what I need to do. The first thing I always do is post for all of my accounts first thing in the morning, so that it's like, okay, that's away. Like, that's done. I don't have to worry about that for the rest of the day, because it is something I have to do every single day for, you know, however many accounts. Then I go through answering emails that were sent like in the night, like that I need to follow up with. And then I spend my afternoons like reaching out to new people, or like online shop, like not actually shopping, but like looking at what's going on online. So I kind of have like a similar routine, but the thing that keeps me really organized is the list that I make every morning. And I cross off every time I complete something, or I add things throughout the day as I think of them, so that I never forget. You know, I even will write like, post on my own account at 11 a.m. Like,
yeah.
I need to have that in order to make sure I get everything done and that I don't let something like fall off.
Do you use like scheduling content, or
no.
You don't?
No, it's really crazy that I don't, but a lot of them, they won't post on your behalf. They'll just alert you that it's time to post, and I'm like, I don't need you to tell me it's time to post. Like, I need you to just do it so that I can be like on with my day and not have to stop.
Right.
So it's, I just have a folder in my phone for each of my clients. And then in the morning, I sit down and I go to the folder for, you know, the jewelry brand. And I say, okay, I'm going to post this today, and then work with the caption and edit the photo right then. So it takes me like 2 hours of every morning to post for everybody.
Oh, okay.
Because I do it all like right then.
Mm-hmm. What are some other things, like maybe that we haven't talked about just in social media, and if I left anything out or didn't ask on that you want to share?
I think that it's important to like treat people like with respect and like not forget that everybody is still figuring stuff out. Like, I think when I first started, I was like really nervous, like, oh, are they going to know more than me? Or like, am I, I don't know. I was just like, it was an insecurity thing. And I've just realized that like, everybody's still trying to figure stuff out. Everybody's still learning. Everybody wants to help. Not everybody. I shouldn't say that. Most people want to. Yeah. And I want to help others also. And so like, just being kind to people and knowing that even if like something doesn't work out between you and that person in the business right then, like in a year from now, they might circle back and be like, hey, remember we talked about doing social media? Like, I know I didn't need it then, but now I really do. And I also have a friend that really does too. So it's just like keeping doors open, keep relationships really good, and be confident in what you do. And people will believe you. You know, the more confident you are and talking about what you do, people aren't going to question you. Mm-hmm. It's when you start getting like nervous about it and like it's obvious that you like are scared or nervous or whatever, is when people kind of like don't trust you as much or like might take advantage of what you do or whatever. So just be confident and be really nice to people.
Yeah, and the sooner you are about being confident, the sooner you get over the insecurity.
Totally. And I think something that's hard about working for yourself is like some days, like if I lose a client, I'm like, oh my God, the world is ending. Like life is over. What am I going to do? And then it's like, if I act like that and sit and like sulk that like I lost a client, a new one isn't going to come to me. Like I really believe in like, I have to act like I have all these clients or whatever it is, or that I'm going to get more and just keep going. Like I can't sit and dwell on the fact that I lost one. I have to be like, oh, cool. Now I get the chance to like work with a new person because I'm going to get a new client that's going to replace this one. Like I just think you have to be really positive in your own head and not let yourself get down about like mishaps or like setbacks that happen in your business.
Yeah. You just got to keep going forward, man.
Yeah.
Can't. And like Gary Vee would say never, he doesn't give it like an ounce of thought to like the past or if he's messed up or whatever. He's like, I just keep going, which is so true.
Yeah,
keep moving along. Awesome. What, just a couple other questions. Like what is one of your favorite books that you've read that you've really enjoyed?
The one I just finished is The Universe Has Your Back. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. By Gabby Bernstein.
Yeah. So I just finished that. And it was actually just really comforting and just really nice to read a business book that was also like kind of spiritual at the same time, because it was just like you have to stop worrying about so many things and trust that like what is meant to happen will happen. And because sometimes it is so hard to want to be in control of everything.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you just can't be, and that's okay. So I love that. And then also when I need just some inspirational words, I read the Game of Life and How to Play It. My mom gave it to me, and I was like, I'm not reading this. You're weird. And then I read it, and I was like, oh, I get it. Like, everybody needs to.
The Game of Life.
Yeah, The Game of Life and How to Play It.
Who wrote that?
Let me tell you. Hold on.
I guess I can look it up, right? I always like, I ask these questions that are like Googleable.
I should know because I tell everyone to read it.
Hold on. Oh my gosh.
And How to Play It. Okay, here we go. It is Florence Scovel Shin.
Oh.
Originally published in 1925.
Wait a second. Maybe I did read this and I just didn't remember it, which is terrible. The Game of Life and How to
Play. Wow. It's from 1925. That's wild.
Or wait, I feel like this book, it was, I feel like this book was recommended.
It's so.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna take a look at it. All right. So my last question is like, if you could wave a magic wand,
I like this already.
What would you outsource in your business?
Wow, that's an amazing question. I would outsource the physical act of posting for everyone every morning.
Mm.
I like choosing the images and doing the captions, but like logging in and out of every account, like, tedious.
For sure. Well,
but like, I also don't know if I trust anybody to do it at the right time and that's not sitting next to me.
Yeah.
You know, so. Which is another thing I need to like let go of some control, but I just can't right now. So
yes, ma'am.
Yep. Hard.
I feel ya. So, well, Tracy, this has been an awesome conversation. Thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Of course, I'm such a fan.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.